Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 331 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strahlers, and with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
My man.
Mm.
Here we are. Did not get like a big video game trailer.
No.
Did not get like big movie announcements.
No.
Did not get huge video game drops. But
no. They did release an awesome trailer of Kraven. Did you see that?
No. I don't even know what that is.
He's a Spider-Man villain.
He's the
latest one to get their own movie.
Neat.
Yeah.
Well, God knows we need that. So have you... Before we plow into it, listen, I want to say something. You guys need to check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. I know personally... the episode that I released this week was fire. It was quite good. I haven't received feedback on a Patreon episode like this in a solid while. So it was pretty nice. And for just a few measly bucks, you could be listening to this and making us happy too by helping us keep things going. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Anything? What do you got going on Patreon? What do you got going on?
Not to mention the 260 plus episodes we have on there already.
Yes.
I have a lot of things going on. I just finished up recently the finale with Mandalorian with Max. Finally got done with that and we watched it together. He's always camera shy at first, and you can always tell he's camera shy because he starts like sucking his bottom lip a lot, you know what I mean? To the point, it's one of his nervous tics. He gets little marks on the bottom of his lips from it. He does a lot when he's playing video games. When he's concentrating, he's like quit it. Mm-hmm. And but he warmed up and we had a good old time. Usually he warms up when I start attacking him. That's usually how it works out. It's a father son thing. You understand?
It is, and it's just a guy thing in general. I realize like the amount that we bag on each other just as men.
Yes.
It's just the go-to.
It's how we survive.
It is.
It's either that or we just literally fight each other all the time. Yeah. Like, it's the only choices we have. Like it's make fun of each other or punch each other in the face.
Everything hurts too much for me to be fighting anybody these days, man.
Yeah. We're just smart apes. You know what I mean? We're just ready to go.
Well, speaking of everything hurting all the time.
Yeah.
I had this incident and I just want to continue my incredible tear-filled discussion from last week about how you shouldn't get involved in IT. So I had to run this cable, right?
Yeah.
And I run it all the way through this. It's horrible. You're just going to have to trust me on it. People should not traverse this ceiling the way I traversed it. It's irresponsible. It's dangerous. But it was like time was of the essence and I had to do it.
Yeah.
So I run it. I get out of there and I go and I lay down on the floor. Like I feel like I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I can't remember what day of the week this was. I feel like it was Wednesday last week.
What did you have? Like, did you have like monkey bar rafters or something? Like what happened?
Basically, yeah. So you climb up above this ceiling and it's all of this. So in a commercial building, you'll have like stud walls and stuff, but they're sheet metal.
Oh,
so you have to be real cautious, but I'm walking on the top of stud wall and holding on to stuff and like drywall and drop ceiling all around me. And you're holding on for dear life, trying to keep from tipping off. And by the time I ran the cable, and then you start to get real claustrophobic.
Mm.
And there's a right way and a wrong way to do this. And what I did was called the wrong way, but I couldn't do it the right way because it was just me.
Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah. Long story short, I get this cable to the edge of this spot where there's a big rectangle cutout for like HVAC.
Okay.
But there's no unit there, right?
With you.
I come around, I climb all the way back out, and I'm so worn out and so dirty and gross. I had to just lay on the floor. and for like 20, 30 minutes. It looked like I made a dust angel on the floor. That's how dirty I was. Anyway, I go and grab an extension ladder to climb up into this hole, right? And it's this big, heavy fiberglass, like 30-foot extension ladder.
Nice.
I get it up on the wall into that pocket where the cable, the end of the cable is. I climb up there, and the bottom of the extension ladder starts sliding out.
No.
And dude, I'm the only one in the building.
No.
I had to just grab an on top of that opening in the wall and pull myself up into it.
Oh no.
And the ladder got stuck on this conduit that stubbed out from the wall, and I was able to lean down and pick it up and pull this 80-pound ladder up with my non-dominant hand while I'm hanging out of this thing to get it back up to where I can climb back down it.
Oh my God, the and panic.
I wrenched my back so bad. It has been rough. So I'm going to tell you something. When I said don't go into IT, man, did I ever mean it. Don't do it. Don't unless do it. You're like got the cush job where you're just doing all the programming stuff at the end. Yeah. Do that. But yeah, poor me. Because I am old and everything hurts all the time. And then my kids are like, Dad, let's play this. Dad, let's roughhouse. Dad, pick me up. I'm like,
oh. Everything sucks.
Daddy's old. He's old. Yeah.
Daddy waited too long to have kids. It's not your fault.
Oh my gosh. My kids are lucky though that I had them when I did because I'm so much more patient now.
Oh yeah. I mean, you're way more of a patient person than I am. That's something I struggle with daily. And you're talking about like doing something that's like exhausting in different ways. Yours was like literally because you were about to die. And like, you know, but like I've told you recently about going into the attic a lot, having to work online stuff. I don't know if those of you who have either have not been in attics or never been in a smallish attic where you can't stand up, you kind of have to like crouch wherever you go. And like, it's just really, you know, I have one of those really small attics that are really long. They're the whole length of the house and they hot. They super hot.
Oh and, God. Yeah, they are, man.
And got spray insulation all over the place. Talk about this. I did the same thing. I'd be up for like 45 minutes just with a respirator on, just like, I felt exhausted when I came out of there. I just laid down on the grass for like 20 minutes, just laid there. Rachel's like, Rachel, like, are you dead? I'm like, I feel like it. I feel like I'm on death's door. Can you just leave me alone for like 10, 15? You know what I mean? Just like, leave me here. I'm in the shade. It's a lot cooler. It's 95 degrees outside, but I feel like I'm in a refrigerator. So please leave me alone. I've been in ladder situations like that too, because it's so terrifying when that ladder all of a sudden doesn't do what you need it to do. Cause you realize in that moment how reliant you are upon this piece of fiberglass or metal or whatever it is you're using. And when that goes wrong, it fight or flight, max full effect. Like, it's like, okay, I guess I got to hang on in very life and get this thing up or I'm going to die and nobody else is here. You know, it's just, terrifying.
Well, and here's the thing. I worked at a place when I was an electrician that a guy had like from the office had come up and climbed this big giant extension ladder they had to this mezzanine and it fell. And he ended up like he basically landed on his upper teeth. Like this way though, straight up. And it like, dude, it was not cool. But anyhow, so listen, if this is your first time listening to this show, I realize that this may not be exactly what you're expecting. Here's what we do on this show. We're dads. We talk about being dads. We talk about nerd stuff that we dig. Right. And a lot of times, a lot of the nerd stuff that we dig is related to like, relating to our kids.
Yep.
You know, Star Wars coming back when it did was excellent because I had two little kids who were super into Star Wars with me and it made it so much fun and just stuff like that. And, you know, I try to introduce them to new things and like my wife and I, we get into stuff and I wouldn't call this nerd culture per se. Right now we're watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Man, what I forgot how great this show is.
Yeah.
That's what you should expect. And I just want to say ahead of time, you're welcome.
Something that I think that you could relate to, even if you don't listen to the band, but things that we're into. My favorite band, if not one of my favorite bands, released an album last week after we recorded. And that's Queens of the Stone Age. They're one of my favorite bands, if not my favorite band. Nice. And the album is called End Times New Roman.
Mm-hmm. That's a cool title. I'm just going to say that's cool. Title.
There's lots of really well written, like very like, I wouldn't say like Eric, you like making like jokes and stuff, but they're clever lines that are a combination of words that make a new mm-hmm. meaning and stuff like that. And, you know, End Times New Roman is like a, I guess like an analogy of a couple different things merging together. Right.
That's very good.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of other things like that happen, but like the album, and I know I could be biased because, you know, I love the band and I love what the sound they make, mm-hmm. but it's so good. Like it upsets me sometimes, like how well certain musicians just get it. Like they know. Go ahead. We want to say something.
No, I was going to ask you. So with Queens of the Stone Age, they've been mm-hmm. around a long time. What's yeah. their lineup like now? Like, have they been a bit, because I'm not super hip to them. Are they a band whose lineup has been very consistent over all the years? How's that work? And then what I would ask is, with a band who's had a deep, deep catalog that's been around for a long time, how do you feel like this album sits compared to the stuff that they were doing when you first got into them?
Well, they have had a fairly... like there's been a rotating cast of people, right? Mm-hmm. The original members of the band, there's only like really one of them left. That's the lead singer, Josh Homme. He's the only one that's really like the remaining original one. But he was also in Caius originally with with a couple of the people that came over with him to Queens of the Stone Age. But a couple of them had, you know, drug problems, but they all had drug problems, but their drug problems were just so bad that like, like, hey man, it was kind of like whenever Metallica kicked out Dave Mustaine, you know, they're like, look, we're all drunks, but like, whoa, dude.
Yeah. That's kind of like Zakk Wylde getting fired from Ozzy's band for being like abusing substances too much.
Yeah. Like,
you know, Ozzy? That's what, yeah, yeah, that's funny. I mean, it's not funny. It's terrible.
It's terrible, but it's just funny given that they're all terrible. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, and actually, I was watching an interview with Josh Homme recently, last week, actually, whenever the album was getting ready to be released. And he was talking about how he'd gotten sober recently. And the guy who was interviewing knew him personally, right? Mm-hmm. And they were talking, and he was like, He goes, I know they have a song that's from one of their first albums called, the album's called Rated R, but the song's called The Feel Good Hit of the Summer, right? Uh-huh. And it's literally just, the whole song is nicotine, Valium, Vicodin, marijuana, ecstasy, and alcohol. Like repeating it, right? But it's like, it's such like a classic song of theirs because it's such a thing.
Right.
But that was his main, you know, concoction of things. And he made an analogy on the spot, was like, he goes, yeah, it's true. I definitely consumed enough drugs to kill a small boy. He goes, and then he goes, maybe that was my inner child. I was like, God damn it. Just on the spot, yeah, like that.
That's deep, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But as far as what we were saying, your question, they have had a rotating cast, but the main person who's really Queens of the Stone Age, the driving force of like the message and everything else, is Josh Homme, and he's been there the whole time. And he's there is no Queens of the Stone Age without him. It's just how it works.
Right. So, and you've heard me talk about, just real quick, of Megadeth.
Yeah.
Megadeth is Dave Mustaine.
Yeah.
And he's even gone to say that Megadeth is a Dave Mustaine solo project.
Yeah.
The players are interchangeable, which is not sat well with some of the players that he's had that have dedicated their life to his band.
Yeah, that's
but, you know, he pays them. And so what are you going to do? But anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm really bad at remembering names. So I don't remember all of the names of the band members, but there's been a bunch, right? But like, he has had a few of them, like I think two of them have been on it there for at least 10 plus years.
Wow.
But the drummers have rotated a couple times, and Dave Grohl famously recorded Songs for the Deaf for them, which is like probably their overall most iconic album. Mm-hmm. It has No One Knows on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as far as how they've progressed over time, it's one of those things where they kind of make their albums different every time, but they are undeniably Queens of the Stone Age albums. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so each one has like, I don't want to say a different theme, but they each have different vibes and you instantly know which album the song is from when you hear it. If you've listened to all their albums, you like, I know what album this is from. And you may not remember the name of the song, but as far as like this one compares to the other one, the last album that came out with Villains it was like their kind of play on what a Queens of the Stone Age pop album would sound like. Mm-hmm. And they literally got a pop producer to like, I can't remember his name, but he's like a famous one to produce the album for them. And they have a couple songs that are very much like if Queens of the Stone Age made a pop song, but that doesn't mean they're any less rocky than their other stuff. It's just kind of how it goes. Right. But they're heavily produced and everything else. But the thing about this band, and much like, say, like as far as like, say, also like how like Tool is, how Tool's very precise with what they do. Mm-hmm. In Queens of the Stone Age, even whenever they are being loose with something, you can tell it's extremely deliberate, and they're going for a very specific sound at a very specific time to elicit a very specific meaning and feeling, and. They're just all just supremely talented musicians. Josh Homme has a very distinct voice who you can tell is heavily influenced by David Bowie, right? I don't know if you ever listened to much of their music, but he croons like the wrong word, but like he just carries his voice in this very way that like David Bowie would do.
Right.
And he actually did during that Taylor Hawkins like 2 or 3 day concert. Remember that? He's sang Let's Dance, the David Bowie song, with I think a couple members of David Bowie's band. I'm bad about musical history, but and you really couldn't tell it wasn't David Bowie. he just has that voice, but it was really weird. He's one of those guys who you always see with a guitar, and he didn't have one. He looked like, and he's a big, like tall, like 6'3", 6'4" guy. Mm-hmm. And he was just wearing this trench coat. He's just kind of like, dance, you know? And I was just like, you look so weird without your guitar. Like you look like a strange person up on stage. And he was kind of like in a Talladega Nights or Ricky Bars. I'm not sure what to do with my hands. That's kind of what I felt like I was looking at. I'm not sure
what to do with my hands.
But the new album is very good. It's the way it progresses is very nice. It's very easy and quick to listen to. It's a extremely quick 47 minutes, which is how long the album is. It just move. But like I haven't been able to stop listening to it, and which is pretty typical with their albums because I enjoy the motion of them so much. And they're probably Queens of the Stone Age albums are probably like the best driving music albums you're ever really gonna come across, just because, especially you're really trying to get somewhere in a hurry. but anyways, go ahead.
Do your kids dig Queens of the Stone Age?
They do, but they tend to dig most of the stuff that you know their parents listen to, because their parents have a habit of listening to the same thing. So
I had a pretty brutal realization this week. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, and if anybody who is a Patreon supporter remembers my That's Metal episode called I Have the Power. It's about power metal.
Okay.
And one of the songs I talk about is from the 80s, and it's called Halloween, and it's by the band Halloween. And it is long, and it has all these movements to it, and it's one of my most favorite songs of all time.
Is that the one that says I Remember Halloween? Is that one?
No. Huh. It starts. It's a thrash metal song, and it starts out with this guitar riff. It's like bah, ba, da, ba, ba, da, ba, ba, da, ba, da, ba, ba, da, ba, da, dum, ba, dum, ba, dum, ba, da. And they're European, and the masquerade, grab your mask and don't be late, kill. It's a really good song, and Steve Crothy and I were gushing over how great it is. Yeah. And anyway, Henry hates it. Amanda hates it.
Oof.
To the point where like they have this look on their face when it's playing. They can't even just be happy for me that I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me sad, man. The chorus of it is, it's power metal. So it's real poppy sounding, you know, like kind of how Dragon Force is. They're like sugar coated power metal. And it's got this great what in there that's like multi-layered. You can hear all the parts and it's so good. Anyhow, yes, they don't like it, which as a dad bums me out a little bit because I feel like I'm raising them wrong. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, see, my kids, like Rachel has been on a, I want to say roughly 3 to 4 year Coheed and Cambria kick.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's very rare that she's not listening to them in the car. Like she loves them so much. And like, so all my kids are well-versed and all like the Coheed and Cambria. They really, it's a really good band. So it's hard not to like them. Yeah. You know?
It's easy to like them.
Yeah. But like, but they also really like, you know, the Beatles and Paul McCartney and Wings because we've listened to it a lot. You know what I mean? And so, but now I've listened to Queens of Stone Age and I think Leia is not that big of a fan, right? Uh-huh. But Max, there's this the like single track, I guess, if there is such thing anymore, off this album, is called Emotion Sickness,
mm-hmm.
which is another good.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it like starts out with like Josh humming. He's like walking to the studio. He goes, he's like, and then he goes, use once and destroy. Bam, 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 bam. And Max like has all that part down. He just I'll hear him just singing it randomly when we go places, and without the song being on. So he likes it. He digs it. He also likes it because his dad does. You know, so. But as far as like what they want to listen to, you know what's funny, and I realize more and more about my son is that I think he's really into digital music. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because of the YouTube channels he watches or what it is. But like I'll hear him and he'll like if he puts up his little Amazon Music he has on his tablet, he'll be listening to some kind of like electro something or other. I'm like, what is going on with you in here? What is this? How did this grab you? But, you know, I'm not going to hate on him for his musical choices, you know, but.
Well, you know, I, of course, instantly become quite defensive and start going, I compare them to bands that Amanda likes that I don't like. I said, well, admittedly, there are no Nine Inch Nails, you know.
Amanda likes Nine Inch Nails?
Yes.
I've never been the biggest fan of Nine Inch Nails. I have a lot of friends who are. I think our buddy Rashad, or at least my friend Rashad, I'm not sure how he is in this situation with you. But
he's my friend too.
I'm pretty sure our buddy Rashad is a big Nine Inch Nails fan. I could be wrong, but I just don't know, because you know I can always appreciate bands that have a very musically talented and I would say like student of music that really pushes forward and keeps going to make music, like a Trent Reznor or something like that, that tries different things. But like, I just never really liked what he was trying, you know? And so it's one of those, I'm not saying, but like, I just never really got into him. I tried a couple of times. And I just like, I don't know, buddy. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm also a weirdo who's not like super into Radiohead either. And all my friends like are real into like my brother-in-laws, they all love Radiohead. I'm like, that's just not my thing, man.
Dude, I love Radiohead. Oh my gosh. Okay, listen, I have something specific I want to talk about here in a second. But so Amanda and I were watching this TikTok video. I can't remember who channel it is, but it was Objectified Musicians. And what it is somebody who does like these pretty cool animations that are all just like white background, black lines. And yeah. he samples just the vocal take out of the thing. Like he's got Marilyn Manson as an oscillating fan. And the fan starts and it's like, oh, it's very good. Okay. It's stupid as the day is long. But anyway, they have Tom York on there. And she and I are leaned over watching it. She goes, Tom York, who's that? And I was like, really? And she real cool. I'd see her kind of tilt her phone to the side as we continue listening. And a little bit later, she goes, oh, he's the guy from Radiohead.
Yeah.
And I let it go for a while. And I finally said, listen, I saw you look that up on your phone. Because she didn't want to appear like she was not hip and was out of it. I was like, oh my gosh, that was so good. I almost didn't call you out on it.
I have to be honest, though. There's a good chance I wouldn't have been able to like think of his name on the spot either.
Well, that's fine.
I'm just not good at names. It's just how it goes.
But like you can see his name.
Yeah.
And you hear him. It was, I don't remember what it was, Tom York is something something. But he's like, being him, I guess that's all I can say.
Yeah,
he's about it. But
he's being Radiohead-y.
Yeah. Anyhow, Radiohead, man, they... They're an acquired taste, I guess I want to say. They're very peculiar. I like what they've done. I mean, obviously, I like some of their big hits. I may be one of the few people who really like the song Creep, but I prefer the radio edit.
Oh. You know they won't play that song live?
Really?
Yeah.
There's an acoustic version of them doing it that's pretty good. But
he said because they play it too many times, he's sick of it.
I like it to be so very special. I think it's better. I just think it makes the song better.
Oh, instead of so fucking special?
Yeah, and I'm not averse to cursing by any means. You know me, but
it does feel forced when they put it in there. It feels like they really wanted to add that emphasis, but it doesn't quite flow as well as so very special. Yeah. I'm with you.
So what I wanted to get to, hang on real quick. I'm listening to something here.
Oh, uh-oh. On the fly, dialing things up.
So the lead singer of Queens of the Stone Age, his last name is pronounced, are you ready for this drum roll? Josh.
That's not how they pronounce it in his interviews.
I'm listening to an interview with him. They're going
like he must not correct anybody because I listened to two interviews last week where they said, now we have with us Queens of the Stone Age frontman Josh Homme. And then he goes, hey man, what's going on? Never once has he corrected. And the guy that I said that was has been his friend for like 15 years who interviewed him called him that too. So I don't know.
Weird. Yeah. So I'm listening to it right now. And he says, if you're in France, it's but it's Josh Yeah.
Is that what he's saying?
What's that?
Is that what Josh is saying?
Yes.
Well, then why the fuck is he not correcting anybody else in interviews?
I don't know. They're interviewing him and the guy says, right now, I want the definitive answer. How do you pronounce your name? Like UHM.
Josh
Uh-huh.
I'm just gonna call him JH. I've heard it so many different times. And like the funny thing is there's always like a debate between Rachel and I. And she's always said, I think it's Josh Homme. And I'm like, I think it's like Josh Homme or Josh like that, because like it just seems so weird.
Mm-hmm.
And like she's like, no, we watched that interview and they said his name. I was like, yeah, but it just seems weird. And then like there was even like a little Apple like TV show, it was like a video thing he was doing for a little bit. And I swear to God, in that introduction, they said Homme as well.
Here, let me send you this link.
I am baffled.
You're shook. You're straight up shook.
Shooketh.
Here's what I'll do. You know what? Let's just keep talking. I'll bump it to my mix cast and then we'll play it. So let's just keep talking. Go ahead.
No, it baffles me. Go ahead.
So one of the things I wanted to bring up is Henry and I, we dig Star Wars, right? That's just a given. We like Star Wars. And we've been looking forward to there being a new Star Wars movie. And, you know, when he heard about, like, the Rey thing, right, he's like, dang. And I think even Stella, who claims she's just not that into Star Wars anymore. Mm-hmm. Which that's fine. If that's how you want to be, you want to hurt dad's feelings. That's how you do it. Right. But even her, she was like, hey, that's cool. And you know, they had put out this release schedule that it was going to be December of 2025. Right. Mm-hmm. And then December, 2026, there'd be another one. They've since pushed it back. And I mean, listen, it was to be expected. You know, the writer strike, the whole bit. But now they're saying, this is official. This is the official word, not some, you know, speculation mm-hmm. on the internet. But they're saying that it is going to be May of 2026 and then again in December of 2026. Releasing two movies in the same year. Which I didn't think they would ever do again because of, you know, what happened with Solo, right?
I just think it's not, I think it's not a great move anyways.
I'm a little surprised. Yeah. But
I think May, good. May's good, right? But twice in 1 year is asking for another TFA, Rogue One, Solo thing to happen. You know, I mean, I know mm-hmm. Rogue One still did really well. You know, I'm not saying that. I mean, just like the confusion from people who aren't like so dialed in, you know?
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so that's pretty wild to me. I was very surprised. I'm bummed out that it's going to be pushed back. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's kind of like, well, duh.
All right. So we're talking 3 years from now.
Correct.
Do you remember, like, I think it was in 2020, which I think 2019 was when the last one came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2020, COVID hit, and they were talking, and things were all getting all shuffled, and people were all up in arms with the last movie and everything else. And they were, there was all kinds of influx with Disney Plus. I said, I would be shocked if we have one by 2025, but I imagine probably 2026, 2027. It's just mm-hmm. something about the way things were going. I'm just like, they're so not sure what to do that it's just going to be forever. And they're going to have all kinds of excuses now with COVID and stuff to keep pushing it back until they figure out what they're going to do.
Right.
And now the writer strike is another thing to add on top of it.
Right. But
yeah. So we'll see what Ryan Johnson's in roughly 2037 probably. Is that one?
If it ever happens, you know.
I'm dubious.
But, so yeah, I mean, and that's a little bit of a bummer. Yeah. Listen, when you're my kid's age, he's getting ready to turn 9 in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The end of 2025 and the middle of 2026 are the same distance away forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's six of one, half dozen of another when you're that age, man. Yeah. It's all the same. But yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah. I don't, did I tell you that we went and saw that the new Into the Spider-Verse movie?
No, you did not tell me that.
Yeah. You know, Max is like 12th or 13th how many movies he's seen with me so far. He's been going with me to him since The Last Jedi. Uh-huh. It was Leia's second movie and Lily's first one.
Oh, wow. How'd she do?
She did pretty well. Luckily, we had plenty of treats to, you know, satisfy her mm-hmm. while sitting there the whole time. It's a surprisingly much longer movie than I thought it was going to be. At least it felt much longer than what it was going to be supposed to be. It was very good. Right. I will say that, not going into the details of it, how much you care. But I will say it's a I didn't expect it to go the way it did. That's all I'll say.
Gotcha.
And I think if you see it and you get to the end, like, oh, I didn't see that coming. which isn't a bad thing. I'm just saying it's not how you expected the movie to close out. It's all the characters really good. It's very fun assembling of Spider-Man. Like the whole converging of all these Spider-Verses is very cool, as it has been since it came out. But I did find myself going I think last time we had a show, or maybe we talked about after or maybe during, I can't remember, but you're like, I'm kind of multiversed out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, though this works so well because it's much better laid out and not so up in the air about what the purpose of it is. Right. Uh-huh. It's much more figured out. It works much better than what Marvel proper is doing. You know,
gotcha.
What I mean?
Gotcha.
And it doesn't feel tired, but it's still at the same time. You're like, man, all right, we get it. Different universes. We're all going through it. And DC's gonna release that Flash movie, which is the same thing too.
Boy, so it has not done well.
Has it not?
No.
Is it out already?
Yeah.
I figured it would do really well.
I did too, but it has not.
Really?
Yeah.
How bad we talking?
Bad. Huh. So hey, real quick, while you're looking at that, I'm gonna play this audio file.
Okay.
Okay, and if it's too loud, throw a hand so I can tell, because it's a little bit overmodulated. Mm-hmm. The recording of it is on its own. So here we go. Going to play this interview. I can't remember when it was from, but here it comes. About 30 seconds.
So how do you pronounce your last name so that I can actually get this on tape one last time to make sure that people
So you want the definitive version. If I ever leave the States, it's Om. That's
if you go to France, it's Om.
If I go the rest of Europe, it's Om.
It's Om. And in this country,
Hami.
Hami.
Because H-O-M is Ham, and then M again, and E is me.
Hami. Okay.
Hami.
Okay.
Om.
So that's why they don't. That's why they don't correct him here.
Yeah, but I mean, it basically he's just admitting that he gave up. You know, yeah. But yeah. It's like me, man. People call me Struthers all the time, and here's what's wild: is my daughter has that has become an egregious misstep in her eyes. When people refer to her as Struthers, she's like, "No, you shall not." Who do you think you are, Araj Dolat Shahi? Can't
well,
get
I
my
just call you
right.
Struthers. That's how you tell me to say it. But then I always like you say it differently than when I say it.
No, it's Struthers.
Do I have more of a drawl or a different drawl to it than you do, or something?
Well, I don't know, Struthers.
I say it more like brothers. Is how you tell me to say it, like Struthers.
No, it rhymes with bothers.
Bothers. Yeah, Struthers.
Struthers. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Struthers. Josh. Okay.
Well, but I have a feeling it's like, it's probably like Norwegian or something. You know
probably.
What I mean? Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, what he's saying is in Europe, it's everywhere. Yeah. But then in the States, it's Hami.
Yeah.
So he probably, it just like doesn't care at some
point. I mean, he's got one of those names, like you got to give up at some point. It's like,
right.
I'm tired of explaining.
Right. You know? Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a lost cause.
Yeah. So I think anyhow. I'm reading here the hold an estimated 55 million, the Flash movie during its first 3-day weekend, a far cry from the 75 to 85 that it expected. The Flash has won the box office elemental flops. The live action remake has amassed 253 million in North America and 466 million to date, which so. I don't know. Not great, but especially for how much they probably spent on it, and
right, and the promotion cycle.
Yeah,
you know, that's the big one.
How much of that do you think is speaking to Ezra Miller, or how much is that speaking to just the overall people's feeling towards superhero movies?
That's tough. Because, okay, so I'm not on social media much now these days.
Same.
Right. But a guy that I know who I wouldn't typically peg as like a way steeped in pop culture, right?
Yeah.
He consumes things as people do. He went to see the movie and he talked about it. And he mentioned Ezra Miller being a crappy person. And so I was kind of surprised that like, that's not something I would typically see Jeff talk about. Right. Yeah. But he said he's also a terrible actor. So that's kind of what led into that conversation.
Yeah. But I never quite understood I never quite was able to wrap around how I felt about his take on Flash. But then again, I'd never been super, like into Flash.
Right. Right.
So
yeah, I mean, I liked his portrayal of Flash on
Justice League.
Justice League.
Yeah, it was all right, but I wonder. I wonder now because there's two of them in this that it's like, okay, way too much Ezra Miller.
Right. Yeah, that'll do, son. That'll do.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I mean, no spoilers because I haven't seen the movie, but like Keaton isn't in it that much.
Yeah, it's not surprising.
And they leaned on him hard during the commercials because, you know, for one, they had to get Ezra Miller kind of out of the forefront. But two, I mean, come on, it's Michael Keaton as Batman. In my opinion, he's my favorite Batman because I like the guy so much.
It's hard not to love Michael Keaton. It's very hard not to love Michael. I mean, Batman, Beetlejuice, you know, Mr. Mom, all that stuff. So like plus he's got the best commencement speech ever. Whenever he ended it, he goes, one last thing. I'm Batman. That's the best.
God, that would rule so hard. It would have made college worth it to be hearing that speech as I was graduating.
I'm Batman.
You know, he's also a really good dramatic actor.
Yes.
I can't remember the name of the movie he was in, but it was with Nicole Kidman. And she was pregnant. She was his wife. And he was dying. And he wanted to stay alive before his kid was born, but he didn't think it was going to happen. And like he was deteriorating. Like he ended up in a wheelchair and all this stuff by the end.
Yeah.
And he's making these videos for his son to watch once he's born. And it's
terrible.
He's trying to be the Michael Keaton that we know and love and be funny and engaging and all of these things. But at the same time, he's addressing a subject matter that's very real. And I remember being very, very moved by the movie. I was also very moved by the fact that Nicole Kidman, I'm pretty sure that's who it had to be. When she was pregnant, I'm like, so it turns out I'm into pregnant chicks. So yeah, there was that too. So yeah.
But sidebar on Nicole Kidman. I'm tired of seeing her in AMC movies at the very beginning of everyone that comes up. We're here. We know, Nicole. We get it. I'm glad. I hope they paid you a lot for this because Jesus fucking Christ. I never thought I would say I'm tired of seeing Nicole Kidman. I'm tired of seeing Nicole Kidman.
Oh, how dare you, sir?
Well, I mean, we all know the beginning, anything in the beginning of the movie that's not a preview is just god awful. It always has been, always will be. It's like part of the shtick that's got to be the stupidest thing of the whole experience.
Right. Yeah it is.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies.
Yeah.
Okay. Indiana Jones 5, Dial of Destiny, getting ready to come out.
Yeah.
In just a few short days.
Yeah.
I've seen some people I know who have seen it. And they've had mostly good things to say about it. But the reason I'm bringing it up is, you know, it was Father's Day yesterday in the States.
Oh, yeah.
And it was quite a good day. One of the things I got, by the way, was this, you know, the Golden Mayer books, the little, like, they're real thin and it, you know,
got the gold foil on the edge.
Yeah. I got one that's about Taylor Swift.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great. Oh, I love it. I'm so happy. It makes me so happy. But anyway.
Of course she has one of those.
We watched over the course of the weekend, we watched the third one with Sean Connery. What's it called? The Last Crusade. Last Crusade, and then last night we watched Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Nice.
And I'm going to tell you, both of those movies are great.
Yeah.
I mean, because of the time, especially Raiders of the Lost Ark, there's some like the pacing is much slower than like the movies of today.
Oh, yeah.
But even still, what still made moves. It so great is we weren't like so hardcore. Nobody talk. We're watching this movie. It wasn't like that. There was a lot of back and forth with it.
That's one of the best parts about Indiana Jones movies is that you can like converse while you're watching them. One, because you've seen them 6 million times, but
yes, there is that.
But two, because they're never trying to trick you with the story. It's a very like mostly straightforward like narrative, like hero archaeologists that belongs in a museum, motherfucker. Like here we are. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of how it goes. And then what's funny is like We had, Rachel and I watched the Temple of Doom the other day. That's funny that that happened. I think they just put them all on Disney Plus, right? Is that what happened? Yeah, but that apparently that one's her favorite. Which surprised me.
Really?
Yeah. Who's that actress in that?
Kate Capshaw.
I forgot how juggalicious she was in that movie.
Yes, good she's Lord. Quite pretty.
I wasn't talking about her look. She does look pretty, but you know what I'm talking about? At the very end, she is a poppin'.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, that's something that's interesting that I was actually talking to Amanda about is when I was young, I wasn't sure if I thought the actress who played Marion or the character of Marion, let's just say, I wasn't sure if she was good looking or not when I was a kid.
She definitely is.
And I think part of it is because I found her so annoying with constantly yelling, Andy. But man, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wowee. But yeah.
I still think mine's probably my favorite is probably oh my God, I forgot the names of the movies. The Temple of Doom, The Last Crusade, and what's the fucking the Ark. Oh my God.
Raiders of the
Jesus Christ, my brain just went dead. Yes, I think my favorite is probably Raiders of the Lost Ark still. I don't know what it is. I think probably because it sticks up my mind so much being a young boy watching it, especially whenever he's fighting that big Nazi and throws him to the propeller blade.
Oh gosh, yeah, so good.
you're like you don't even close to feel bad because it's a big ass Nazi. You're like, this fucking just shove him in there, Indy. Yeah.
So while we're talking about kids and movies and whatnot and TV shows as an extension thereof, the kids are not watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with us, go figure. But one of the things that we do watch all the time and I talk about it all the time are Parks and Rec and Community.
Yeah.
We watch them all the time and our entire life are memes from that show. Like we use lines from the show all the time. And if you'll recall when Andy Samberg was in Parks and Rec.
Yeah, the loud talker.
Yeah. So Henry was talking about he's playing Roblox and he's trying to design his avatar. And I kept going around the house going, "Have you seen Henry's avatar?" And he was so in love with it. He's like, "That's good. That's very funny." That's what he told me. "That's very funny. That's good." I'm like, "Ha, my son, he approves."
He just drones on. You know what? "Ha ha, Dad, that's a good joke. That's a good one."
He did really like it. He thought it was great. But I was pretty proud of it, even though it's stupid.
Yeah.
It's admittedly pretty stupid.
My son gets mad because he's finally starting to understand sarcasm and knowing when it's happening. Because like I'm just a sarcastic dick. It's just what I do. And like, and I try not to with my kids, but it's so hard to switch that gear. And like, the thing is now he's starting to catch on. So he's like, "I don't like it when you're sarcastic." I'm like, "Well, you're going to have a long life, my friend, because, this is who I've been. And if you knew my family as well as I do, you would understand why I am the sarcastic D-bag that I am." So
Amanda, my wife, told me that she called our daughter EJ today for Eric Jr. because she corrected her English.
Good Lord.
I'm like, "Oh, that's my girl."
Eric Jr., English juror.
Yeah. So, hey.
English judge.
While I'm talking about the kids not watching stuff with us, I do want to talk about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia real quick.
Okay.
So we're not very far into our rewatch of it. We're only in the second season. But I'm going to tell you, if you've snoozed on that show, go watch it. Yeah. It's quite offensive.
Yeah.
They are the worst people on earth.
Yeah.
But it's like Gross Seinfeld. Man, is it good.
Yeah.
It's so, so good.
Yeah.
Every character on there is handpicked by God himself to play these parts. It's an incredible ensemble. And yeah,
I'll never forget Kitten Mittens for as long as I live. It'll it'll never leave my brain. It's just always in there. It's the first image I have when I think of Always Sunny is fucking Charlie in his suit and his button up shirt and his tie that he wears for everything that's fancy or whatever he always has on. And he's like, is your cat making too much noise?
Yeah. Well, so the episode we watched today was called $100 Baby.
Yeah.
And because at the beginning of the episode, they're talking about $1 million Baby. And Dee decides that she's going to become a boxer after they get mugged. And the three guys just run and leave her laying on the ground when it's crackheads mugging them. And it's very good. It ends just about like you would expect. And Danny DeVito, who plays their dad, he used to be a boxer, apparently. And the guy that he's had this old rival was the dude from Laverne and Shirley. Not Lenny and Squiggy, not them, but the other guy, Carmen?
Have a hard time remembering.
Carmine was his name. Anyway, it's really good. And his daughter's going to box, and she and Dee are supposed to fight. And somebody sells Dee a bunch of supplements, which turn out to be steroids, and she becomes super aggressive and super mean. It's super good. So you should watch it, because here's the deal. One of the things I like about it is they're not afraid to address subjects.
Yeah.
It's kind of like South Park to an extent, but they're not... It's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah.
They're not making the audience feel bad for having certain stances. Unless you're racist, then they're making you feel bad about it.
Yeah, as you should feel.
But it's very well done.
Yeah.
It's great stuff.
I'm on for what, 12 seasons?
Something like that. I definitely recommend it. Yeah. I definitely do. So go watch it right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's funny is those shows that you say, you know, that are over the top, like making you, address topics or feelings or whatever. And like, they're really into it. Like that and South Park have been going on forever. South Park has been going on since I was in, I think, the fifth grade, maybe fourth grade.
Yeah.
I'm now 37.
It came out in 96, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's crazy to think that it's been going for almost 30 years. That's nuts.
That's wild.
But speaking of shows that definitely do not watch with the kids, is we were almost near the end of the first season of White Lotus, Rachel and I, and that show is a roller coaster, man. There's so much going on and so many little like petty little things that it's. It's such a. I'm trying to figure out the message of the show. Is it overall just fuck rich people are, or is it like rich people are petty just like you? You know what I mean? Like I'm trying to figure out what the overall, or they already have issues just like you do too. But they're also all a bunch of spoiled children because they've been in pain and getting what they want their entire lives.
Right.
And so like it's like this whole thing, but like. The guy that I told you last time Nick Offerman's lover in The Last of Us.
Right.
He's the head concierge or whatever, the manager of the resort. He's killed it every episode. There's this one particular guest that he's been having issues with the whole time, who is the son of wealthy people. Who I think I forget what they're into, but I think it's probably some kind of, you know, owning a bunch of buildings, realty or something like that. But they're very rich. But he just got married. He brought his new wife there who comes from humble beginnings and who is struggling to become a writer and who's taking jobs that are beneath her like intellect to try to get in there. And he keeps trying to convince, like, you married up. You don't got to do that anymore. Like, what are you doing? Like, just Just do something else that doesn't fucking matter. Like your job doesn't, your career, it doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want, right? And the whole time she's like, but I went to school for this. I came up from nothing. Like the idea.
And she's probably passionate about it.
Yeah, exactly. And like she got like a notice and like an email to write for something while she was there. She's like, I think I'm going to do it because of this, this, and this. And he's like, you're on your honeymoon. You're going to do this. She's like, well, it's also important to my career that it's not going yet. That need to happen. So anyways, long story short, he has this ongoing battle with that guy, the head concierge, with this guy, because he messed up and actually double booked the room they ordered.
Uh-huh.
But he's been trying to play it off the whole time that like, no, this is what you ordered. This is how it works. And like, this guy is such a spoiled rich boy and used to getting whatever he wants that he just can't let it go. So he keeps like, here's the email that clearly shows that even gets his mom involved and everything else and back and forth. And like, it's to the point where it caused him, this dude, to fall off the wagon again, the head concierge.
Ugh.
Because he like finds this, like, he's given this bag that these two girls have. They left on the beach. It's just full of drugs. And he was having like a really bad day. And he just starts like just taking it all down. And like, and this is a slow decline of this guy's character. And it's so well done. And he so hates this other guy who's constantly, he's like, motherfucker, like all the time behind his back. And whenever he leaves, God! And it's very good. I could see why people were so into it when it came out. And if you ever want to give something a little bit different when you're used to watching a chance, you should give that out. If you have Max?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I'm so confused by it all, to be honest with you. HBO Max, Disney, I mean, Discovery Plus, like it's like a thing and it's not a thing and it's whatever else. But that's what that's something I've been watching. That, and I also, I told you last week I was watching that Arnold documentary, mm-hmm. docu-series. And I'm on, I think, episode 4, maybe 3, I can't remember. But it's where it went from, I watched the athlete, you know, the bodybuilder, I watched the movie, and then I was watching I watched the politician one. And it's, the whole thing is, as you expect, just wild and crazy. And
oh,
just,
yeah.
It, like, I had forgotten that he had all those scandals when he was running for governor, mm-hmm. all of a sudden those women come out of the woodwork,
yeah.
about like claiming that he had done this, done that. And he like didn't quite deny, but denied this is what happened. And so now as a man now, he's like, well, regardless of what the extent of what they say that happened or whatever, what I did and what I did do things that are inappropriate. And I, in no age and no time is it okay that I thought that it was okay if I could, you know, grope somebody or do whatever he was doing.
Right. Right.
And so, but I think it's kind of interesting because I feel like most people would run away from it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just try to distance themselves from it.
Right.
And I think he was up front. I mean, it's his docuseries. Like it's all about, he's in the thing the whole entire time. So it's just interesting that he was like, no, you can't. I don't want to talk about that. No. I'll bring that right. up. He's like, no, let's be honest about it, which I thought was interesting.
Well, that's cool though. I mean, yeah. You know, it can't be an easy place to come from, but you're right. You can't run from it.
No, I mean, you have to own it and hope people can accept you for your misgivings. You know what I mean? But whether or not that you should or not is up to you. But you know what I mean? So yeah, that's what I've been up to. Have you been watching that? Always Sunny. I need to go back and watch that. Go back because I think I fell off around like season 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. I think
yeah,
because what happens a lot with very long winded shows like that.
The nice thing about it is there's not very many episodes per season. I think the maximum is 12.
Yeah,
something,
and they're
like
all
that.
Short episodes.
Like, yeah,
like 24 minutes, something yeah. like that.
So before we jump out of here, I want to hit video games. Okay.
Mm.
And Henry and I tried out this game called Lego Brawls. Did I talk about this last week?
No.
So I found it. It was on sale. And what it is you design these minifigures in the game and you fight. They're battle royales and it's, you can do it all like up to eight people if you have eight controllers hooked to one Xbox.
Yeah.
All like couch co-op style. Or you can do it online. And what's really rad about it is the way it does matchmaking is at no point is your username ever visible to anybody else.
That's cool.
There's no in-game chat. There's none of that. So that you don't get kids getting, you know, just
bullied
harassed. And gross talked by adults. And it was quite a bit of fun.
Yeah.
I definitely recommend it. It's a buy. Lego Brawls. Yeah. Also, after being on High Potion last week, it's picked up my vigor for Red Dead Online again. And also, I'd really like to consider doing another playthrough of Red Dead 2. The only thing is, it's like a huge commitment. Huge commitment. It's so long. The story is so long. And there's no way I can go in there and just play a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But one of the great things about it, though, is the story. It's just so good.
I still like you should have played Diablo 4 with me and Frank.
Well, I'm not going to buy another AAA title game right now. I don't have the money.
It's fine. It's fine.
That's all there is to it. But what I am doing at the same time is I'm playing a New Journey Plus of Jedi Survivor while I wait for them to patch it so that I can go back to my first game and get the rest of the bounties. That's so annoying.
Corey was saying that he hasn't been able to get it to work on PC recently.
Really?
Yeah, I've not had that issue. I've not played it in a while, but I've not had that issue at all.
So in my New Journey Plus, I'm playing on Grandmaster.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you something.
It's hard.
It's quite difficult. Right?
Who would have thought?
And it's just continued to get more difficult.
Yeah.
Now, I've gotten a lot better at it.
Uh-huh.
But it's still very difficult. And I can't remember if I mentioned this last week. But so Florian, if you guys listen to the Blue Harvest podcast, which I highly recommend, one of the greats. This guy, Florian, sends in some pretty epically produced voicemails. And he comes in my stream sometimes, and he has given me some pretty good pointers. But one of the things he told me is when you do a New Journey Plus, regardless of the difficulty level you're on, there is a perk that doesn't take up one of your perk slots. It's just activated that makes the enemies stronger.
Yeah.
And I left it. I decided, you know what? Now that I know, I'm just going to leave it on.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do it. And here I go. And like sometimes I get my butt handed to me, but then other times, like Dagon Gera, when you get him out of the back of the tank, first try, beat him, you know, and where you get to the cutscene where he flies off. So I was pretty pleased with that.
Yeah.
But man, so here's the deal though. Here's something that the reason I bring this up. As I'm playing through this, there was so much going on at the beginning when I played the game through the first time that it wasn't that long ago that I was in these parts of the game. Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that. I don't remember this, like dialogue from cutscenes and all of these things that I've completely forgotten. It's wild how multifaceted and layered that game is.
Yeah.
So if video games are your thing and Star Wars is your thing, get this game. I know we've already said it when we talked about it, but just get it.
Yeah.
All right. Before long, it'll probably go on sale before long.
I'd say about another month or two. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're holding out, go ahead and hold out, but get it.
Yeah.
It's a must. I'm just going to say.
Oh, really quick before we go, there was something I had written down to ask you about because, you know, if we were talking, we were talking about like the therapy and stuff like that, and like the amount of time you spent in it, you know, stuff like that. Whether you want to keep that in, it's up to you. But I've been seeing a therapist for almost a year now, right? And for multitude of things, but basically all relating to like ADHD and things like that, and how they relate to my life and how they've affected my life and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And she's always trying to get me to read things. And I'm always like, I'm coming to you for you to give me the,
right.
You know? And, I didn't come to you for homework. You know what I mean? Which is not true. They love giving it to you.
Yeah.
But she's like, you need to read this. Listen to this book on Audible called ADHD 2.0. And I heard the name. I immediately was like, ugh, like that sounds like such a, ugh. And one of the things, and I don't know, and I've not really read many books that are about this kind of thing, right? Or not really. And she told me to read it because it'll be very affirming for me. And like, you know, like, look, man, like these things that you're struggle with, like this is not an uncommon occurrence for people who have the thing you do. Like you need to accept, and then you need to have more acceptance and then push forward past them and realize that there are ways around it. Right. And so mm-hmm. like, I understand that. I've been doing my whole life. I think the ways to get around it. I just didn't accept that I had a thing. But one of the things I don't like about it, the very beginning of the book, They brought up, like, they made it very like doomy and gloomy, but yet you can also be like a superhero at the same time.
Right.
And they said at the very beginning that they started listing all these things that shorten your life, like smoking, you know, cardiovascular disease, heart disease, stuff like all that stuff. And they were saying that people with untreated ADHD on average live 20 years shorter than the average person.
Uh-huh.
Really? But then they don't explain why. They just leave that hanging.
Oh.
And I'm like, you can't just drop that freaking supposed truth bomb and then not explain what the fuck you're talking about. So I'm sitting there. The only way I was able to find out I had to look it up online and look up the guy who, one of the guys who wrote the book and where he explained it. Like, why didn't you explain that when you said it? Like, that's such a thing. Like, are you trying to like scare me to read the rest of your book to find the answer? Like, what the hell is that? Why would you say that? It was so like bizarre. Number one, I'm like why? Is because of hypertension from stress and anxiety? Like what is the reasoning? And I looked it up, and then mainly it's because people with ADHD will tend to be much more likely to have addictions and much more prone to, say, like an accident in a vehicle and things like that because of what they focus on, because they're mm-hmm. much more likely to be a risky driver and all these other things combined, added together, and then tabulated to this roughly, you know, 10 to 20 years less than normal person. like you made me think, like, because I have ADHD that my lifespan is just shorter. That's how you said it. Like, it was just weird. Like, have you ever read those kind of books and they have other like this is what it is things, and then don't really quite go through with the rest of the information?
Fortunately, not too many.
Yeah.
But I mean, definitely, you know, because my therapist, he liked to give me homework to read this book. Yeah. This will tell you something. And a lot of times for me, the stuff he'd give me was more about like finding your center when it comes to parenting.
Yeah.
That was a big one. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yeah. And part of it, what I found would happen is I don't have ADHD, but I would be reading these things and it would, like, there was so much information that it would just overwhelm me.
Yeah.
And I would kind of drift off from it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And I don't, not intentionally. It's not like I'm not interested in this and there's nothing wrong with me. Or
it's a lot of you at once.
It's not like that. But yeah, it's quite a bit. And so I think that.
Which is funny, real quick. It's funny because people with ADHD, right, tend to drift. And you have this book that is like almost immediately going to make you drift. It's like, how am I as a person with this? But like maybe because it's so much related to you that it'll be enough of a a draw in your brain that it'll keep you there. And it, and it does for a little bit, but as soon as you start trying, like say if I'm listening to it or whatever, and if as soon as I do something else just for a second, like immediately, like I realize I missed 10 minutes of it. It's just gone. And I know that happens when you do things and read, like reading's supposed to be a very, you know, personal like experience where you're looking at something and whatever. But like, it's just like, even when I was solely focusing on it, it was still like I would find my mind wandering away from it. And like, I'm like, how am I supposed to really take something from this if they're one using all these acronyms and then explain the acronyms later and like everything else? Like, it's just, and what I did find interesting is how many comparisons there are people with ADHD and who have bipolar disorders as well. Like, all the, there's several parallels between those two. And I think it's probably because it's probably in the same executive function region of the brain. You know, sometimes, you know what I mean? So, yeah, interesting. I don't want to go into it that far, but like I never read any book like that before. And it's just really like been on my mind because that out of all the stuff they taught me, that one thing, 20 years less of your life, like really stuck out to me. And they didn't explain it. I was like, I can't believe you didn't explain this.
Yeah, that seems like... that's not fair.
Yeah.
You know, because I would think that was something where you would want to explain the why before you got to the what.
Yeah. Yeah. But luckily, then when they would say, well, luckily ADHD is like the most safely treatable thing in the psychology world. Basically what it's saying, like we have the most treatments, the most varying kinds of treatments on top of medication, but also just think skills for you to learn, be able to better harness what you have, and then to better understand and realize and focus and push past, you know, which is great. And they're like, well, if you do these things, you'll be fine. But it's like, okay, you made it sound like I was going to die at like 65 for sure.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, geez.
Anyways, sorry to end on that, but I meant to mention it earlier because I was just curious because you know you have more experience in this field than I do, so I was just curious.
So maybe. I've been sitting here trying to find this. One of the things that my therapist did, he would give me movies that he had in his collection about like to deal with specific things, and one of them, and I cannot find it. I'm not stumbling upon it because I would recognize the title once I saw it, but I'm not getting there. But it was about a Native American boy who, or like teenager in modern times, who like lives on the res, and his dad is like the pariah because he is a complete drunk and did something bad. And it was very good.
Yeah.
And I cannot remember what it was called. I would love to find it because I didn't expect it to be as engaging as it was.
Yeah.
Because it was heavy. You know, there's no getting around the fact that it was heavy, but it was a good watch. And it was like eye opening to me because part of it was about, like, for me, forgiving myself, that kind of thing, you know?
Mm hmm.
Which is one of the hardest parts about anything.
Yes.
There's two hard parts about therapy. Bearing your soul and then forgiving yourself. Those are the two hardest things.
Even if it's forgiving you have a real issue.
Yeah. Even if it's forgiving yourself for being a victim.
Yeah.
Because at some level of there in victimhood, you always blame yourself. But
anyway,
that's getting pretty deep for right now. But
for another episode.
Yeah, but that's something, you know, for me, just FYI, having bipolar disorder, I look for symptoms of it in my kids.
Yes, same.
And, you know, because luckily I've got a lot of understanding about it and like methodologies and processes to like get in front of it. Mm-hmm. And that's something I have to guide them through without labeling them.
Yes.
So, anyhow, wow.
Dad motivators indeed.
Dang. But hey, listen, guys, in all seriousness, thanks for sticking around. Be sure to check out patreon.com/thebadmotivator. Some excellent, excellent stuff going in there. And seriously, I can't This most recent episode of Starless Family Secrets I did, I thought was really good. So I think it's something people might get something out of. So go check it out. Yeah. Check out our merch on TeePublic and Redbubble. It's not too late to pick up a Taylor Swift t-shirt if you're going to go see Taylor Swift. It'd be great if like one of those appeared in every city. Just saying. And let's see. Check out the links in the description for places where you can watch Cruiser and myself stream video gameplay and whatnot. I'll probably be streaming some lightsaber building soon again, hopefully. Getting ready to have a busy few weeks here, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. And follow the show on Twitter, should you so desire, at @bad_motivators. That's about the only place. We're not even very active there. So
Twitter's become a bad place.
It's not cool. It's definitely not. My feed is... It's just a messaging app with crap I have to wade through to get to the messaging parts.
Yeah.
But there's some other crap down there. Give it a look. And yeah, man, there's nothing left to say except this. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye, the Dad Motivators.
The Bad Motivators!